The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
To the next PowerPoint. This is where we start to launch into other things. So every year, Baptist Mission Australia has a theme in May. And the theme this time is, what's love look like? And so that's, we're going to start sort of, just going to go through that a little bit today. So I'm just sort of departing from Mark's Gospel. I'll leave that with Chris. And so it's going to move into the theme for this month. So what's love look like? That's the theme. And the theme itself has a few bits to it. So what's love look like? Bringing God's love to life every day in every place. So that's what Baptist Mission Australia want us to think about. How do we bring God's love to others? And there's a sort of sub-themes that go with that. So there's first one, living as imitators. So we're going to speak about that today. That'll be the topic of the main message. I'll speak briefly because we've already taken up quite a lot of time with other stuff. But, living as imitators. As followers of Jesus, we're called to imitate God's loving heart. We're called to imitate the loving ways of Jesus. And there's a few other sub-themes. We won't be dealing with those necessarily during the course of the month, but they are living as beautifiers, as modelling the beauty of God's love. Living as in-betweeners, the people that kind of move in between the gospel and the gospel message and those who need to hear it. And then living as collaborators, partnering with others to help share the love of Jesus, to help share the gospel. So we're going to think today about living as imitators. And that's how we're going to sort of launch, in a way, May Mission Month. What does it mean to actually imitate Christ? It sounds pretty simple on the surface, and in some ways it is. But in another sense, it's terribly difficult to execute. How do we imitate Jesus? And there's a couple of other things we might just keep in mind as well. So imitating Jesus is part and parcel of being a disciple of Jesus. And that, the Bible itself makes it terribly clear. There's plenty of passages in the New Testament that tell us that we are to be imitators of Jesus. So just a few. Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. So imitate because it's the family likeness. God is our Father, we are His children. Walk in love as Christ loved us. So there's a model for us, an exemplar. And gave Himself up for us. A fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. Here, after Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. And I guess the thing we think about is, does he mean literally washing someone else's feet? Or is this some kind of example of godly humility? Here we have Paul exhorting the Corinthians to change their behaviour in some ways. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I've always found that a real curiosity in the sense in thinking about how I wouldn't be game to say imitate me. I can imagine all the ways people would become wayward. They would have a better sense of humour. But beyond that, I'd be troubled. But as I thought through and I was thinking about that, just in thinking about this sermon this morning, why would you say that? I think, I may well be quite wrong here, by the way, but I think it is that, or part of it at least will be, that the Corinthian Christians had never met Jesus. They'd never seen him in action. But what they had seen are his followers, particularly Paul, in action. They'd observed his attitudes. It makes them think how important it is, as we are ambassadors for Christ, as we are examples of what it is to be Christian. How many people do you talk to from time to time and say, oh, I never go to church, I don't go to church anymore? Why? The church let me down, or so-and-so betrayed me. We need to consider ourselves as people that model the life of Jesus. How is it we became Christians? Who impressed us? Who brought to us the gospel? We've never seen Jesus, but we've had opportunity now to read his word. We've had opportunity for someone to come into our lives and speak the gospel. We've had opportunity to see people living the gospel, imitating Jesus. And I invite you even now just to cast your minds back to that time when you first came to know Jesus. Pardon me. Or to think about a person that has that you would regard as an exemplar of what it is to be a Christian person, what it is to imitate Jesus. What is it about that person? And so I sort of think that's what Paul's getting at. Be imitators of me, because I'm someone who imitates Christ. Here we have Peter encouraging his readers to endure in the face of persecution. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his footsteps. They all knew about the crucifixion. Jesus died for them. And John reminds his readers that true disciples love both God and others. He says in verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Loving others, loving God. And there's plenty of other passages you could pick that say similar kinds of things. We are invited, maybe even commanded, to imitate Jesus' life. But maybe it's a bit daunting. Now, what do we really mean when we speak of imitating Jesus? And I reckon there's some things we could consider just briefly. Now, it's not simply attempting to do what Jesus did. Jesus himself was unique. He's both fully God and fully human. And guess what? As much as we might like to think otherwise, we're not that. We're only the human bit. In his life, Jesus did things that we cannot do, and he taught with a personal authority that we do not have. We have his authority, the authority of Scripture, but it's not ours. Jesus walked on water. Jesus stilled a storm just by saying, peace, be still. Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes. Jesus healed the sick with a touch or a word. Jesus forgave sin on his own authority. Jesus taught with an authority, unlike the recognized scholars of his day. Jesus never sinned. I guess we miss out on all those. You can have a look another way too. There are things that Jesus never experienced that we do. So how can we follow him in those areas? For example, Jesus never married. Jesus never was never a parent. Jesus was a man and not a woman. Jesus lived in a particular culture and it's not ours. The kinds of things, in a sense, specific things that we might find distracting or tempting, Jesus didn't experience those. Didn't have the internet. Didn't drive a car. So we can't imitate him specifically or in those specific areas. And so we think, how did he know stuff? So what's going on here? Baptist Mission Australia produced a few resources, and one of them has said, while it can seem daunting to live as an imitator of Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Saviour and Creator of the world, we have not been set up to fail. We are not following Jesus' example of how to be God, but how to be human. Another writer, Michael Allen, said this: because Jesus was fully human, the image of the invisible God, he can function as a moral exemplar of what it is to be human. It's important to note that the biblical teaching of humanity as the image of God is heightened with regard to this particular human, obviously so. In fact, the process of salvation involves being predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn, that's like the prototype, the one that goes before, the firstborn among many brothers. Jesus is humanity perfected, transfigured, even glorified. So when we follow Jesus, we're not following Jesus showing us how it is to be God. What he's actually showing us is how to live as the image of God, because we currently live as the fallen image of God, the broken image of God. As we look to Jesus, we see humanity as it should be, as God intended it to be. That's what we're moving towards. Now, we're not going to get there in this life, this process we call sanctification, but we're going to move towards Christ-likeness. We're going to move towards imitating Jesus more completely. Remember that imitating Jesus is not just mimicry. It's not trying to do what Jesus did in a copycat kind of fashion. It's not simply paying lip service or following some ritual. Rather, it's becoming more like Jesus in our attitudes, in our ethical behaviour, in our decision making, and in our relationships. It's about character, and it's about our identity. Those are the areas in which we think about imitating Jesus. And they are universal things. They are things that we can do and hold on to in every situation in which we live. So, for example, some of us are probably aware that when we're driving and we're not progressing as we might like, that we might need to control our language, even if no one else is in the car. We can bring attitudes to things that are clearly not Christ-like. If you hit your thumb with a hammer whilst nailing something, if the first reaction is anger and maybe a word you shouldn't use, then maybe you're not fully sanctified yet. So you might need to become a sanctified hammerer. But I know they're sort of lightweight sort of examples, but it's true, isn't it, everything? I remember reading one of the articles by C.S. Lewis, who was arguing that it's possible to be and to act in an ethical way in war. And so he's no pacifist. He's saying it's possible to do that. He said, how do you do it? He said, by getting it right before you go to war. You practice that behaviour, you develop that attitude, you develop Christ-likeness so that when you are in a situation which is so tense, you just react, in a godly way because you're already there. You will have, if you sense, in a sense, predetermined the way you'll act by the way you've practiced it. So that the pressure of a particular moment won't shift you somewhere else. You won't return to that automatic, worldly, fleshly response, but you'll move to something else. It's more godly. So there is that. We can see it summed up in Galatians chapter 5. We all know this. You know, these sort of characteristics that are part of who we are, who we become, and we grow into as we follow Jesus. You know, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, is the challenge. That's something we grow in ourselves. The Spirit grows that in us, but we need to draw close to God so that He might develop us, transform us, change us, help us grow. I'm going to sort of sum things up in sort of under three headings. Love, service, and sacrifice. See, Jesus sets for us an example. He loves. He serves. He sacrificed. And He taught these things and He lived them. Love. Jesus said that His followers were to love God, love their neighbour, love one another, and love their enemies. And you might be able to recognise what this picture is straight away. You know, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan in order to illustrate what it is to love your neighbour. And you'll all remember the story. It's very well known. A man's assaulted and robbed and left alone, he's injured. And a priest and a Levite see the injured man walk by on the other side of the road. Well, these are sort of people who are leaders of their religion. You would think they might act differently, but they don't, for the sake of the story. And then a Samaritan saw the injured man and had compassion on him, stopped, bound up his wounds, and took him to an inn so that he could be taken care of. And he paid for the accommodation and the care. Now, it's important to remember, as Samaritans and Jews just didn't get on. So Jesus is making a really telling point. So you look at this, who's the helper? It's the guy that you don't get on with. It's the guy that you actually despise, the Samaritan. And then as Jesus finishes the story and applies it in Luke 10, he says, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbour to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, this is the person you're speaking to, the teacher of the law, he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. So he's actually telling us that we're neighbours. Not only do we love our neighbour, we are the neighbour. You go, do likewise. We read also in John 13 where that's referencing the coming crucifixion. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. It's a challenge, isn't it? By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What a challenge that is. As we reflect upon ourselves, our own behaviour, our attitudes to others, Jesus says, love one another. It's a witness in itself. Love one another. And then people will know that you're my disciples because you're imitating me. Romans 5, verse 8. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in verse 10, it says that the people that he was being reconciled with were in fact his enemies. Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? The idea of somehow loving your enemy. I remember decades ago, that's what I remember best actually, but I remember decades ago, had the privilege of hearing Bishop Festo Kevinjiri, who was from Uganda. And he was speaking, he was travelling the world, he'd escaped from Uganda during the reign of Idi Amin. And you might recall, those who us are perhaps a little older, remember that Idi Amin and his henchmen had arrested Festo Kevinjiri, a couple of others as well, and Archbishop Lewum. Archbishop Lewum was beaten to death. He put his body out on the road and pretended that he'd been hit by a car. But he was beaten up, he was beaten to death by the henchmen of Idi Amin. Festo Kevinjiri was released. And then when he reflected on that, he said, I heard him say this, it was in a meeting when he was speaking it, and he said, I love Idi Amin. And I sat down, how on earth can you love a murderer? At least 500,000 people killed during that reign, and brutally. So he said, God loves me, and I am a sinner. I am the enemy of God, but he has made me his friend. But then he'd do that in real life, but he was absolutely sincere. I love Idi Amin. He wanted to see him come to faith in Christ, to know the love of God and to know that forgiveness. An incredible example. So it's clear from this sort of stuff that we are to love Jesus as Jesus loves us. In John 15, the vine and the branches, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus was a servant. John 15, when he, and the great example there, when he had washed their feet, put on his outer garments, resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. And as we were reminded last week or so, to wash feet is the role of slave. So Jesus took upon himself a servant role, a filthy role, a demeaning role. He washed the disciples' feet and said, you do it too. You do it too. It's a principle here at stake, and he was illustrating it. In Mark 10, and the context there is that James and John are asking Jesus to be seated at either side of him in his heavenly reign. But Jesus said to them, but it shall not be so among you. That is, you won't have those kind of leadership roles like that. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Again, it's our role. That's what we've been called to do, to serve others. Jesus did it. How would we imitate Jesus? By being servants. So we love as Jesus loved. We serve as Jesus served. Obviously, we're not going to be able to die on a cross and redeem humanity. But we still put others ahead of ourselves. And sacrifice. In Philippians 2, and again, really familiar passage for most of us, he's telling the church there where there's been a bit of dispute amongst themselves and there's a bit of disunity. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, the form of God means that he was God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So first it's saying, you do this, have this mind in you. What sort of mind is it? It's the mind of humility. Mind of humility. Jesus gave up all that he possessed in heaven, set it aside for a time. He didn't become any less divine, but he gave up the privileges of heaven. And he became a slave, one who was destined to die. And he did that freely, did it intentionally for our benefit. If you're a bit of a Greek scholar, you'll know this is as kenosis. He didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. It means just to lay aside the divine privileges, like glory, for example, and to embrace human limitations, like suffering. So he humbled himself and he became obedient even to death on a cross. So humbled himself, lest the glory of heaven for the limitations of earth. He died, and know the death thing? Even death on a cross. Why emphasize the idea of even? It's just not that he died, but even death, because here Paul is speaking of Jesus' willingness to humble himself. Even death, because that was the most humiliating death that was around at the time. It was a criminal's death. It was preceded by torture. You're exposed naked to the world. It was everything that you could imagine is contrary to and other than the very glory of God that Jesus enjoyed with his Father in the heavenly realm. Matthew 16, Jesus said to his first disciples, and by extension to us, he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Part of our following Jesus is to be willing to give up all for his sake. It was Bonhoeffer who said, you know, that a true disciple, but Jesus says, come to me. He says, what he's really saying is, come to me and die. Right? Give up all for him. So where are we? Love. Service. Sacrifice. All of that is always about the other person. This is what agape, you know, one of the Greek words for love, is. It's a desire for the best for the other. So when Bishop Festo Injury says, I love Idi Amin, he wasn't saying he liked him. He wasn't saying he approved of him. He's saying he wondered what was best. What's best? Become a fellow believer. To seek God and humble yourself before him that you might know salvation, you know, forgiveness of sin, you might repent. Jesus' love is always other person-centered, and ours should be likewise. Philippians 2 verse 3, Paul instructs his readers in this way. He says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. It's the key. So when we imitate Jesus, not only do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, that's hard enough, we will necessarily love others, serve others, sacrifice ourselves for others. And this is what it is to take up our cross to follow him. This is what it is to imitate Jesus. I'd like to conclude this morning with showing of a video. This is Demma and Caroline serving Jesus, imitating Jesus in Thailand in their ministry. So I'll hand over to the experts in the sound desk to make this all happen.
What's love look like?
Bringing God's love to life every day in every place.
Sawadee.
Hi from Chiang Rai.
At the heart of mission is love. A love that reaches everyday people in every place. In northern Thailand, many follow the Buddhist way, valuing peace, respect and community. Here, love is not spoken loudly, it is lived quietly. We imitate Christ not through words alone, but actions and through humble lives. Loving as he loved, gently, patiently, and faithfully. We become beautifiers, bringing hope, dignity, and care. Making life a little brighter, reflecting God's love in practical ways. We stand in between, bridging cultures, building trust, and walking alongside people. Not rushing, but joining together. We collaborate with communities, with fellow believers, joining together in love and faith, so that more people will come to know God's love and believe in him. We do it together, not above them. Together, we bring love to life in ways that make sense to them. This is what love looks like. Not distant, not complicated, but present every day in every place.
Thank you so much for joining with us. Do continue to pray for us so that we can serve with God's love and that Thai people will come to know the love of God. May God bless you all.
So let's pray. So Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of people like Demma and Caroline. We thank you for the teaching of your word, You think of an example primarily of Jesus, who showed us how we as human beings can live, how we can think, how we can relate to others, how we can love, how we can serve, and how we can sacrifice. Lord, help us to have this attitude in us as we seek to go about our daily lives in the ordinariness of our everyday experience. Help us grow more and more like Jesus, the one whom we love and the one who we follow and the one we can call both Lord and brother. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.